I'd like for you to take your Bibles, and we're going to be looking at a very, very precious doctrine. Our series has been, God, I want to see you as you are. There are so many influences in our society and in our world that are distorting the concept that people have of God. False religions, the breakdown of the family, breakdown of authority, all of the things that we see around us in a pleasure-driven world distort the concept that individuals have of God. You'll notice I begin in the book of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 because the words of Daniel come from a tested servant, a young man who was ripped out of his country, thrown into a new culture where it would have been so easy for him to give up his faith, to compromise. We often hear of young people today who leave home and go to a university or a college, or they go into the military, or just pursuing a quest or a dream, and they wind up falling into sin and denial of the faith and all of these things. But yet, you know, Daniel gives us hope. Daniel gives us assurance that, you know, you can be a young man, a young woman, and still stand for God. And there are people that are still standing for God. Don't give up on the new generation. Many of them are standing up and serving God and responding to the truth of God's word. And don't give up on praying for those in your family that may not be, because God has not written that final chapter, and God is able to pursue and to bring about his own unto himself. But the words of Daniel, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. People today are hearing the words of pompous magistrates today, and I know our president has named some of them with nomenclature that perhaps I'll not use at this particular point in time, pertaining to rockets and all of this. But you know, there are a lot of rulers that think they're hot stuff. And they think that they can shake their fist at God, and that they can shake their fist at human freedom and righteousness and freedom, and they think they can pursue their own agenda. God says the inhabitants of this world and the magistrates are reputed as nothing. And he says God does all according to his will, not only in the army of heaven, but among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Now, there are a lot of people that will take the sovereignty of God and will stretch it beyond its intended borders to the place where man is basically a puppet, or man is just some type of a uninvolved, passive character in a play. But God has given to man a free will. And for those of you that are always wanting to explain the difficult concept of the sovereignty of God, and we're going to be presenting it in a different way than we have in the past, not different in doctrine or substance, but in approach this morning and also this evening, because we've had a little bit of an abbreviated time apportioned with our missionaries and other important matters. But we're going to be seeing that God's sovereignty does not preclude or do away with man's freedom. And I like to describe it this way, and perhaps this will help you. If any of you ask me, are you willing to take a Caribbean cruise? No, not at this point. But what about going over and crossing the Atlantic? Would you all like to go and take the Queen Elizabeth or the Queen Victoria, and we'll all go and sail across the Atlantic Ocean, and we'll go to England, and we'll have a wonderful tour. Now, this is a sermon illustration, so don't pack your bags or make preparation for it. But you know, we would go in that luxurious liner, and we would receive brochures, and it would tell us all about the ship and the facilities and what they offer. And some of you would spend all of your time at the buffet. Some of you would love to go to the gym. Some of you'd go to the beauty parlor and get your hair done and your nails fixed and whatever, you know, you want to do. And all while you're exercising your free will, you might want to sleep in one day. And while you're doing whatever you want to do inside that ship, the captain is ordering that ship and taking it to its intended destination. All is according to schedule, and he is really the one that's in charge. And you have a certain amount of freedom of going here or going there, sleeping in, working out, whatever you'd like to do, even the TV room or watching a movie or something. But in the midst of your freedom, there's divine guidance and control bringing about all things to his intended purpose. Now, that is a human illustration. And any human illustration is going to break down because we have an infinite God. Perhaps this helps you to understand. I've spoken with people that, quite frankly, used God's guidance as an excuse for making sound judgment. Why do you think God gave you common sense? God gave you the ability to use common sense, to go to a doctor when you need to. And yet some people say, well, I prayed about it, but God just hasn't led me to do it. The truth of the matter is they were afraid to go to a doctor because they might find out that they were sick, and they used God as an excuse. And we all know the college scene, the playboy who dates five girls at one time and then breaks up with them and uses, well, it's not God's will. And he uses God. I always used to say, boy, God gets blamed for an awful lot of stuff that we use as an excuse to excuse ourselves from responsibility. But there's a divine balance that we need to understand, that God is in control, and yet he's given us wisdom to make decisions. And if you want to go to Publix instead of Walmart, that's okay. God is not going to have a problem with that. You know where he'll tell you to be a good steward of your money? There's the biblical guidance. Use your coupons, use your sales. You might go to Publix and Walmart. But you know what? God is not going to send a lightning bolt because you decided not to go to Walmart and you went to Publix. Balance is important. Soul winning, the sovereignty of God. God says his word will not return void. It will accomplish that which he has intended. And yet we have the responsibility of going and sharing the gospel with others. Well, we're going to be looking at some of the things about the sovereignty of God that will help us. And we have about 20 minutes to roll up our sleeves and deal with these. And we're not going to cover them all. We're going to go into the evening service. And one thing I've learned, and that is this, to sometimes be flexible as a pastor in the presentation of your messages. It's hard to say this is what we're going to cover in the next 3 or 4 weeks because there are things that come up that are going to have to require a little bit of an adjustment. So that's what we're doing today. I was going to preach all of this in the morning service, but now we're going into the evening service. So tonight's message is going to be Sunday morning. Can you wait that long? Because we're going to be talking about the wisdom of God. And boy, I want you to listen to that message as well. Let's take a look at some of these points. Number one, God controls time and seasons. God is in control of time and seasons. God is in charge of the season. All of the four seasons, God is in charge of that. Then there's the seasons of your life. You know, there's great beauty in the fall season of our lives, season in which we reach the place where we see God directing and working and using us in different ways. And our grandchildren and great-grandchildren become the emphasis of our focus and our desire to see the Word of God perpetuated. God is in control, and He's in charge of every season. And if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel, this boy captive in Babylon, now chosen to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And I love this doxology. Daniel, a young boy, gives God the doxology in the midst of imprisonment, in the midst of testing, in the midst, really, of the danger of his life, as he prays for wisdom in seeking the interpretation of the dream. Look at verse 20 of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him." What a beautiful doxology we see from the lips of Daniel as he is praising God for His control over time and seasons. God is in control of times and seasons. Also, note with me, number two, that God has dominion over all of the affairs and details of His people. In the book of Job, we have a beautiful scripture that I would like to read in its entirety, because it just touches our hearts with assurance that God is in control. And I feel that with some of the things that we are going through as a family, I know your families and your needs, because you share them with me, and as a pastor, I know that these scriptures will be an encouragement to you. Here we see Job's confession of faith, even when his counselors came to him, in many cases distorting his motives and judging him. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, notice, with him, I'm reading from Job chapter 12, verse 13. "With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again." You know, God has the ability to do that. He has the ability to break down where it cannot be built again. Think of Jericho. "He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholds the water, and they dry up. Also, he sends them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh judges fools. He looses the bond of kings, and girds their loins with a girdle. He leads princes away spoiled, and overthrows the mighty. He removes away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the ages. He pours contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. You know, just stopping here for a second, when you get frustrated with Congress and you see what's going on with individuals working 2.5 days a week and seemingly accomplishing nothing, just take heart. In the midst of the responsibility of man, God is still sovereign. It says here, he discovers deep thing out of darkness and brings out to light the shadow of death. He increases the nation and destroys them. He enlarges the nations and straighteneth them again. Think of what God did in the Soviet Union and then opening up the mission field so that we could see the great fruit. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank the Lord that my son Johnny was able to spend a week in Estonia. Those three Baltic countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and able to give the gospel out in Estonia and speak to pastors that are doing a great job rightly dividing the word of truth. They are out there, folks. Just because we don't know about it doesn't mean they don't exist. And they're taking stands, many of them driven underground. But you know, it's like water that crushes through and breaks through the rock. God is sovereign. And notice what it says here. He increases the nations. He destroys them, verse 23. He enlarges the nations, straightening them out again. He takes away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causes them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Now, if that's not a picture of America and what we're seeing even universally around the world today, God has dominion over the affairs of men. Now, get this. Number three, just to show us the sovereignty of God, we're going to be bringing it down right to our level personally, but on a wider scale to begin with. God, number three, controls nature for his purpose. Take a look at the book of Job. You're there already. Take a look at chapter 37. Job chapter 37 and verse 2. It's amazing when I hear people say, well, the book of Revelation, it has to be re-looked at. It has to be re-examined because, you see, man is destroying his environment and all of these apocalyptic things are at the hand of man. You know, people talk about global warming, all at the hands of man. And therefore, what we have to do is follow socialistic concepts to avert the cataclysmic judgment that man is bringing upon himself. Well, I'll have you know that God has his definition of global warming. 2 Peter 3, the elements shall burn with fervent heat, and God will create a new heaven and new earth, and Revelation and all of the apocalyptic judgments are caused by divine judgment and are measured by the God that we see in point three here. And it says in Job 37, 2, God controls nature for his purposes. Look, hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directs it unto the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roars. He thunders with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. That includes disasters. It includes hurricanes. It includes power outages.
It includes all types of circumstances. We cannot comprehend it. He says to the snow, "Be thou on the earth." Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength, he seals up the hand of every man that all may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in his place. That's the sovereignty of God. Out of the south comes the whirlwind, the cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the water is straightened. Also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. He scatters his bright cloud. It is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still. Consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind? Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passes and cleanses them. Fair weather comes out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. Then there's a scripture, which is one of my favorite whenever we have hurricanes and such that come our way. And that is Psalm 148 and verse 8. Speaking of the sovereignty of God, it says, "Fire and hail, snow and stormy vapor, fulfilling his word." Did you hear the news this morning? If you go to Key West, there used to be a beautiful sign that said, "Welcome to Key West." A beautiful sign with pictures of conch shells and a big invitation to come with a beautiful horizon around it in baby blue and orange. Beautiful sign. Did you know that as a result of Hurricane Irma, that Key West sign was found in Fort Myers? It was found in Fort Myers, 300 miles away on the West Coast, intact. And it's being delivered this weekend back to the citizens of Key West. And it's in such good condition, they're going to put it back up again. Those winds and the ferocity of them taking up that sign and flinging it and bringing it down in Fort Myers. Read about it. And yet some people who found it put it in a truck and they're taking it back to those inhabitants there, the citizens of Key West. God is in charge. Psalm 148 and verse 8. Now we're going to bring it back to the personal, more individual response before the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. Look at the sovereignty of God in this picture. The world so desperately needs to be aware of who God is and give him the glory. In Romans chapter 8, it says this, "And we know..." And that's knowledge by intuitive faith.
We know that all things are good. Didn't say that, did it? It says it works together for good. You know, God is not so limited that he's bound by a single event, be it evil or be it benevolent. God is able to take everything and in the eventual outcome, work it out for good. That's where we have a problem, because we have a tendency to look at something in a punctiliar fashion. And by punctiliar, I'm not insulting you now. I'm not calling you a punk. By punctiliar, I mean a moment of time. We have a tendency to look at something that happens that's bad, and we look at it as an isolated event from which nothing good can come out of. And yet God can take even a difficult, even an evil event, and bring it about for great good. And the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Do you seek him in the scriptures? Do you yearn to see him as he is? Some of the passages that we've read in our first 3 points are intended to encourage us to see God as who he is. And be it far from us that we should have taken these first scriptures, which we extensively read, and say, oh, that's so irrelevant to me. It's not irrelevant. Because you see, what it says about God is going to affect you. If God is not who he says he is, we're in big trouble. And isn't it nice to know that we're in capable hands? You know, you hear people like organizations, you're in good hands with Allstate. Well, sometimes that might be, and sometimes it might not be. I know of some people that have switched from Allstate to State Farm or gone to Nationwide or something else because they had a bad experience. Anything that man deals with, he's going to be limited. But God, we can learn great things from him. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. You'll never understand anything about verses 29 through 30 until you see that word purpose. Because God's purpose is the overarching attribute, the overarching emphasis in all of these terms that are here. There are a lot of people that'll take verses 29 through 30 and try to put man in the driver's seat. Don't you dare do that. Just because you cannot understand it all, or it doesn't seem fair, don't you dare remove the purpose doctrine there. God's purpose is the overarching theme in all of these verbs that are found in verses 29 and 30. And God's purpose is always benevolent. For whom he did foreknow, and that speaks of a pre-established loving relationship from the foundation of the earth, once again, part of his purpose. He predestinated. The word predestinate means to draw a circle around. And the idea is that we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So let me put it real specific. God has predestinated media to become like Jesus. Now that's eternal security, isn't it, media? God has predestinated that the good work that he began in her life, in saving her from the foundation of the world, he's predestined that she is going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And you have people today that teach you can lose your salvation, that you can thwart the purposes of God, And yet, once again, we need to understand the sovereignty of God. This is why I say that if we don't understand the sovereignty of God, it affects every pore of our existence in our lives. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And you know, He's got a lot of work to do in my life. Because you know what? The sanctification process isn't through in my life by any means. But isn't it wonderful to know that I'm going to get there? And He's predestined that. And He's promised it. And notice that He might be the firstborn. He's going to be the one that's going to get the glory. He's going to be the one. Why? Because He's there already. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's glorified because when He rose from the grave, He became the first fruit. And you know, when Jesus rose from that grave, you did too. And the fact that when the Lord blows that trumpet, you're going to rise up to be with Jesus just as sure as God raised up His Son. And Jesus Christ's resurrection and His ascension into heaven is our guarantee. And God is sovereign, and He's going to accomplish that. And notice, moreover, whom He did predestinate, He also called. And you know, that's an efficacious calling. The Word of God says, no man can come unto the Father unless he's drawn. And the Word of God teaches there's that efficacious calling of the Spirit of God. And whom He called, He declared as righteous. He justified. And I want you to notice all of these terms are in the past tense. God sees our justification and even our glorification as already a past event, because it's so certain that we're going to be glorified. Our time is up. But God chose Him. And we're going to be following up on these doctrines. We're going to start right on point number 5 tonight. And I pray that our hearts will be thrilled with the assurances that we have. Folks, all that we have is because of a loving, sovereign God who will accomplish His purpose. What do we do when we worry, folks? What is worry? You know, we're insulting God. We're saying, God, I'm going to worry and I'm going to fret. You know, worrying is like having a big workout on a rocking chair. It creates a lot of movement, but you don't go anywhere, right? And we have a tendency to worry and fret and be concerned about things that are in God's hands. Oh, the life that pillows its head with a full, unwavering faith of trusting God. The mind who is in the Word of God, searching God's truth, will be the mind that will have that faith that's able to pillow its head. Let's bow our heads together. Dear listener, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to know this. God loves you. The Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ shed His blood that you might be saved. Are you willing to come to Him? All things work together for good. Believer, let me ask you a question. Are you doubting God's goodness? Are you prone to worry, discouragement, defeat, depression? Oh, look into the eyes of God, who would draw you and remind you that it is a loving, purposeful God who does His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. We can trust Him. Some of you may be facing the season in your life where you're confronted with weakness and illness and debilitations and worry. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is the God of the seasons? And the best is yet to come for us, because we know Him as our Savior. Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, thank you for the wonderful time we've had in Lord, speaking with the Elas and hearing of their work and seeing the bright, smiling faces of children, many which, Lord, heard of Jesus for the very first time in those gatherings right in that compound. And Lord, thank you that, Lord, you called, even as we read in Romans 8, you called Joseph and Sylvia to salvation, but you also called them to the field to be missionaries for you. And Lord, I pray for other young people that are preparing their lives for responding to the call. Lord, we pray for Johnny and Lord, his outreach in Estonia, for Benjamin and for Michael as they're going on to further their ministries in your work and preparations for it. And Lord, all of our missionaries faithfully proclaiming the gospel around the world, how we thank you for them and the vision of your people, Lord, in increasing our giving and Lord, taking on the orphan ministry and the Lowry's. And Lord, we thank you for the great work. And we're rope holders, laborers together with God. Bless, Lord, each need and bring us back this evening prepared to once again feast upon the truths of your sovereignty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.